To start, would you just tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, you bet. So, my name is Jared Sorensen, third generation rancher in northeastern Nevada. So we live in northeastern Nevada. It's the high desert. We're right up against the mountains. We have four seasons. Currently, our main enterprise is custom grazing. We also direct market grass-fed beef and also raise grass-fed beef to sell into other branded beef programs. A couple years ago, my wife and I started a coaching and consulting company called Ag Steward. We do virtual events. We've got one coming up on the 21st and 22nd of January with multiple speakers over the 2 days speaking about all the principles around regenerative agriculture. And the focus of this event is going to be on profitability, because even though we're in record high commodity prices, profitability continues to be the number one concern amongst producers. And so we figured, well, we're gonna address that head on and how we can be profitable and regenerative. So we are striving to be regenerative in the principles and practices that we apply on the ranch. We have a third party certification through the Savory Institute that shows that we in fact are regenerative, meaning that we are on the key indicators with the four ecosystem processes. And not to nerd out on it too much, but it's kind of what Alan Avery developed, that we're showing continued progress even through drought. And so over the 5 years that we've been doing it, it's a steady increase. So the regenerative path is the path that we've chosen, because we believe that a big part of being stewards of the land is taking good care of it and making sure it's in a better place when we leave it than when we found it. And so that's a little bit about me. I can go and do a little more of the backstory if you want, or we can talk about what we're doing going forward.
Yeah, so I would like to learn a little bit more about your process to diversification. I think a lot of producers are wondering, should I be doing my best to stay steady and stable right now, or should I be diversifying and trying to grow that profit? What did those conversations look like for your family and operation, and how did you make those decisions?
Yeah, they're honestly ongoing conversations. Even the end of last year, the beginning of this year, with overhead costs increasing, labor, fuel, kind of all of the insurances more than doubled for us without increasing acreage. Everybody's feeling that pinch, right? Cost more to buy groceries. We've got a big family. Even though we raise a lot of our own food, we still spend a lot and going to the grocery store. So all of these costs have increased, with our centerpiece enterprise being custom grazing. We're asking, is that right? And the writing's on the wall that no, it's not right for us. So what is the right enterprise? And so we determine that. We look at it from an economic basis and saying which of the enterprises that we currently are doing are contributing the most to our overheads. And then we also couple that with our vision, with the mission that we have of our vision of creating a multi-generation ranch, ensuring that it perpetuates into the next generation, that we balance family life and workload, that we're able to work together on the ranch as a family, and we're able to do so profitably. And ultimately raise a product that we ourselves eat and that we can, in confidence and with integrity, sell to others at a profit for them to be able to enjoy and consume and nourish their bodies. So all those things combined, that's kind of what in the Savory Institute is called our holistic context, or in business terms, it's vision, mission, values. So it's not only economic driven. We have to make sure that, okay, it actually does improve our quality of life or adds to our quality of life. I've used the analogy, goats may have the greatest or the best gross margin, but maybe you think goats are from Satan and you don't want to run. So don't do it. Don't commit to doing something that, man, you don't enjoy doing. If you enjoy it and you have the skills or are willing to pay the price to get the skills, or you're willing to pay somebody who has the skills to do it, then absolutely. So that's how we determine like our enterprise mix. I agree, you know, Dallas Mont has spoken on our podcast, the Profitable Steward podcast. He's the current owner of Ranching for Profit, and he says that of the benchmark businesses and the Ranching for Profit, meaning those who are kind of the cream from a profitability standpoint, they're not generally the ones that are, I shouldn't say that, they're not the ones that are the most diversified. Diversification is great, but they find what works for them, what is a good, strong economic driver, and they focus on that. And then all other enterprises add to that centerpiece enterprise. And so with our clients, that's kind of what we look at as well. You know, we do enterprise accounting. We kind of break it down on a financial level for each enterprise, help them to see clearly, okay, here's the black and white of what's working. And that's true for our clients as well too. Like one couple who had been doing seed stock, they realized, man, you know, we've got this grass-fed enterprise which is producing a similar gross margin. Do we need to continue to produce bulls for somebody else? So right now for them, their seed stock enterprise is on the chopping block. They haven't made the final decision, but it's kind of like it's not to them. It was once they saw the numbers and they realized, hey, this is actually a kind of a drain on our family getting ready for these bull sales and then developing the bulls. And then some people want their money back because the bull breaks their leg on the trailer on the way home, whatever. Like, it's not necessarily something we love. So a lot of times it's an easy decision. Sometimes it's a hard decision, but that's hopefully that answered your question on the enterprise side.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you're talking with folks like that, or even in your current situation, kind of discovering that, okay, what we're doing right now may not be best serving our operation. What options do we have going forward? How creative do you advise people get as far as agritourism or getting into, whether it's a different crop or livestock or whatever that looks like? How adventurous do you think people should be getting whenever it comes to adding value to their current resources? Because I think in agriculture, a lot of times we say, well, to make more money, I need more cows and more land and more. But how can we be good stewards of what we have while diversifying?
Yeah, that's a great question. A lot depends on understanding the person. Bud Williams, one of my mentors who taught sell by marketing, the very first principle he taught in his marketing class was know yourself. And that's where we start with our clients. We have them do an assessment. It's not a skills or personality assessment, it's a way of operating assessment, kind of their default operating. And then we utilize that. And you know, if they so just for the recording and those who want to know, it's called the Kolbe, Kolbe, that we send our clients through. And we can from that we can determine, okay, what is your tolerance for risk? Kind of how much of an entrepreneurial spirit do you have based on these four scores in this Kolbe assessment? So if we just say, okay, yeah, you need to be gung-ho, set these big goals and go out and dream big, some people would thrive with that. Other people, it would paralyze them. And then we look at not only them, but we look at, okay, their team as a whole. And that's what we encourage, is that generally speaking, the older generation, which I would consider myself kind of in that older generation, I'm 50. We don't necessarily have the skills to be able to direct market, do online marketing. It's probably not our gig to be able to go and stand at a farmer's market all day and to be able to converse with people. We tend to be more introverted. We got into ranching and farming because we like to be left alone. We love to work on the land, and maybe we really don't like people. And so I probably talked more people out of direct marketing than I've talked into it. Because I'm willing to ask those questions and say, hey, is this really what you want to do? And a lot of times it's just like, well, no, everybody else is doing it and I think they're making good money, so I should be able to too. And what I'm doing doesn't work. And I'm like, well, yeah, but if your life's miserable because you've got to go do something you don't enjoy doing, don't sign up for that. If you want to direct market and you love people and you're willing to pay the price to get the skills, then absolutely. Or if somebody else on your team is willing to, then yeah, let's talk about that. 'Cause I definitely believe in that. That's kind of the hot topic right now is, I'm going to sell direct to consumer my products, grass-fed beef or pasture pork or whatever it might be. Because we see, okay, there's a higher margin in that. But there's a lot of working parts and pieces to that that you don't know about it until you kind of get into it or until you watch another business. And so that, I guess, to boil all that down, it's first to know yourself. Don't commit to do something that you're not willing to do well. You're not willing to take the time to learn the skills, or you're not willing to delegate and have somebody else help you with. And if you're willing to, then absolutely. I think, be adventurous, dream big, bring in that next generation. A lot of times that's where they can thrive, is we're really good as farmers and ranchers at producing. We're super productive. We just generally stink at marketing. So who can bridge that gap for us?
Yeah, I think you made a lot of really good points there, especially the knowing yourself is a great point, something I think a lot of folks do overlook. So for people who are in that position right now, what would you say is the first step? Is it calling you? Is it putting pen to paper? What do you think? What are kind of your final thoughts as far as people who are listening to this saying, this is exactly where I find myself in my operation right now?
Yeah, help me understand a little bit more what you say where they're at right now. What are they
Yeah, as far
looking
as
at diversifying?
looking at their operation and saying, okay, how do we be the best stewards of the resources we have now? And what do we need to start diversifying? And if we do, what does that look like?
Okay. Yeah, thanks for giving some context for that. Okay, so what I encourage, yes, absolutely. We love to work with people. So at Ag Steward, our company, we are focused on helping family-owned farmers and ranchers become highly profitable while regenerating the land that they steward and creating a legacy business that lasts for generations. And we do that through teaching them the stewardship framework, which starts with first knowing yourself. Asking why seven times, getting to that deep level of like, why do I want to do this? And then we look at the economic side of it. And there's other people that do this. The Ranching for Profit School is great. The Savory Institute is wonderful as far as teaching you the economic model to be able to look at, okay, what am I doing that's currently working from an economic side, and what am I doing that's not working? We don't let that be necessarily the driver, but it is a lot of times the factor. Like if we have an enterprise which is draining our business, and especially if it's draining us emotionally, then that should be the first one that goes on the chopping block. But a lot of times we can't see that unless we have a second pair of eyes or third pair of eyes looking at it from the outside, looking in and saying, what would you do if you didn't do this? What is the opportunity cost? Not only the economic opportunity cost, but what's the opportunity cost upon your own well-being of committing to do this? And what would you do if you didn't do this? And when people are asked that question, they're like, well, nobody ever gave me permission not to do this. Like, this is what I just thought I had to do. And I'm like, well, no, you don't. You have a choice. You can choose to do it or not. And so that's really how we look at it. We look at it from first, who you are as a being, and then second, what are you currently doing that's working, and what are you currently doing that's not working? And then we'll project out and we'll say, okay, We can probably get within 10% if we're going to project out a new enterprise. Based on your skills and understanding, if it's something you're super passionate about, it's probably something that you study on all the time. If we need to, we can bring in other people that are already doing it, and we fill in those gaps and we start to answer those questions that we don't have the answer to. And we analyze it. And that's really what we're doing right now in our business. Like, we have the opportunity to be able to forage finish for another branded beef company. We know that we have the resource base to be able to do it. We know that we can acquire the cattle to be able to do it, and we have the skills to be able to finish those cattle on forage. The question for us is, can we market it at a profit? And so we have an enterprise budget that my son and I went through earlier this week. We said, okay, we don't really focus on the break even because we don't want to break even. We focus on like a 30% profit margin. If we can do it for a 30% profit margin, we know there's enough cushion in there. If there's something unforeseen, we still are going to be profitable. But if it's just like a barely break even, then it's like, man, maybe the bank would finance us, but maybe we shouldn't be taking that risk. And then, as always, I encourage people to be super prayerful as well. I mean, God knows best what you need to do. A lot. He's never going to ask us to do something that we, well, let me say that again. He might ask us to do things that we don't want to do. He's not going to ask us to do something that we're not capable of thriving at and doing well. Like, he will push us. And currently, with running a coaching and consulting business, I've definitely been pushed hard to do things that, man, I'd rather not do, but I've learned the skills along the way. And I have more capacity and resilience for whatever comes down the line. So, that probably should come first as prayerful, but make sure that's part of your decision making on what you do as far as choosing your enterprises.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Well, thank you so much, Jared, for sharing your expertise and a little bit more about Ag Steward and your mission there. Do you have any final thoughts?
No, well, let me say, I say no, and then I go and expound on that. So yes, I actually do. Thank you for asking. Appreciate the opportunity to be able to share. And we get the question a lot, how do I get started in agriculture? There's not a cookie cutter way to get started. But we do have some folks on our podcast who have started with nothing. More than anything, you can be inspired that it's possible. You're not going to be able to say, okay, I can replicate what they did. But you can say, hey, this person did it, therefore I can do it too. And again, if it's, especially if you score high kind of on those entrepreneurial skills, I highly encourage. I think there is so much opportunity in agriculture right now. And Bud Williams said that again. He said, we're there are this was over a decade ago, but he said, and I would tend to agree with him, the current high commodity prices cover up for a lot of mistakes in management. When the tide goes out and the commodity prices come down, which they probably will, they always have, it's kind of like when the tide goes out, you're going to find out who's swimming naked. We'll find out who maybe didn't have the best management skills. Right now, it's probably being covered up a little bit. But don't wait till then. Like, get a handle on your numbers right now. And if you're just starting out, start out on the right foot. Find a mentor, somebody who is doing what you're doing and doing it well. Pay them if you need to. Go learn from them. And those would be my recommendations for folks that are getting started. And even if you're wanting to scale into a new enterprise, the same things apply. Go to somebody who's doing it successfully at the scale that you want to. Take them out to lunch, buy them dinner, offer to pay them $1,000 for the day to just go shadow them, whatever it takes, because you're going to learn so much from that versus trying to recreate it on your own.
Yeah, great note. Awesome. Well, thank you again for your time and I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.